Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
All right, so we are diving into week two of a message series called Humble and Kind. And if you were with us last week, Kathleen took us through what it means to be humble. What it means to live a life with humility. And this morning, I'm going to take us through what it means to be kind. But before I do that, I want to clear up a misconception. See, sometimes people confuse kindness for weakness. Sometimes people think that if you're kind, you must be a pushover. But it couldn't be further from the truth. Kindness takes strength. Kindness takes courage. And a few weeks back, I watched a documentary on Amazon Prime, and it was about the life of Desmond Doss. Now, if you're not familiar with that name, Desmond Doss was an Army combat medic, served in World War II. And they made a movie about his life about 3 or 4 years ago called Hacksaw Ridge. But what's so exceptional about his life is Desmond Doss was a conscientious objector, which meant that because of his faith in God, he refused to carry a weapon. He wanted to serve his country, but he didn't want to take life. He wanted to save life. And because of those beliefs, he was ridiculed, he was harassed, he was abused by his own men. And just to give you an idea how bad it got, when he prayed at night, they would throw army boots at him. And even his superior officer was a guy by the name of Jack Glover. Captain Glover wanted him court-martialed. Captain Glover said he would never fight side by side with him in battle. Ever. See, they viewed Desmond Doss as a coward. But Desmond Doss went on to be a war hero. Desmond Doss was the first conscientious objector to win the Medal of Honor, the highest award a service member could receive. During World War II, the United States was trying to take a stronghold, a Japanese stronghold, and they portray it in the movie. It was up on a ridge, and the only way to get on this ridge was with a cargo net. So they laid a cargo net up on this ridge, and they would climb this cargo net, and every single time they tried to advance on this ridge, they got pushed back. And this happened day after day after day. Well, one day, they go to advance on this ridge, and Desmond Doss's company of 155 men go to advance on the ridge. 55 men came down on their own off that ridge that day. Desmond Doss stayed on that ridge. And over a 12-hour period, he saved 75 men, single-handedly lowering them down to safety. And in this documentary, Captain Glover reflects on his relationship with Desmond Doss, and we have a clip of it right here.
Even though I said those things to him in regard to carrying a rifle, then he would never be by my damn side at all unless he had a rifle, type thing. Well, I was immature in what I was saying because I wasn't... I didn't know him as the man. I knew him only as a skinny little kid in front of me that I felt couldn't carry the load. But then in the long run, finding out that he was a skinny little kid, but not only was he that, but he was one of the bravest persons alive. And then to have him end up saving my life was the irony of the whole thing.
Have you ever misjudged someone? In the beginning, Captain Glover couldn't see Desmond Doss, the person. And Desmond Doss could have held a grudge. But in the face of hatred and anger and abuse, he showed compassion, forgiveness. One of the greatest acts of kindness, putting someone else's life above your own. Have you ever known someone who was kind? I'm not talking nice. I'm talking kind. Anyone can be nice. Sometimes we mistake nice and kind as meaning the same thing, but they're completely different. And I'm not talking about being kind like Kind and Rewind. Remember those days back in the 80s, for those that don't remember? Back in the 80s, we would actually have to go to a video store and rent a movie. And after the movie was done, we would bring it back the next day to the video store. And if you didn't rewind the video, the movie, they would charge you a dollar. So Blockbuster Video came up with this slogan, "Be kind, rewind." But that really wasn't kind. That was really, really nice. See, nice is an outward thing. Nice is holding a door open for someone. We use nice today to describe things. It's a very nice shirt you're wearing today. Kind is on a whole nother level. Kind is emotional, with no strings attached. Kind is something from the heart. And here's the best way that I could explain the difference between the two. Saying you're going to pray for someone is really nice. Actually praying for someone is kind. Now, this is going to sound a little strange being in church, but I want you to imagine we're going to go way into the future, and you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to imagine you're looking down at your own funeral. And you're watching your friends and your family celebrate your life. Is kind one of the words they use to describe you? What would you do today? How would you live your life so they would say that later on? Because kindness is so important, especially today. And I've heard people argue, well, why should I be kind? They're not nice to me. And I get it, we're in 2020. But we're not supposed to be looking for a conditional kindness. Listen to this. This is Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous thing we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to have God's love and kindness? God's kindness is unconditional, which means there's no strings attached. There's no boundaries or barriers. You don't have to be first in line to receive it. See, we were made in God's image, not to be the judge and jury, not to absorb his love and kindness. We were made to reflect it to others. And we all have kindness inside. You know, if you're someone who's grown up in church, you've probably heard at some point in your life about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, Paul explains in Galatians that as a believer, the Holy Spirit is working in your life, working on certain characteristics. I'm not going to go into all of the fruits of the Spirit, but kindness is one of them. And most people would say that Paul uses that analogy, fruit, like a result, like we would say the fruit of our labor. It's the result of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. But this year, that took on a whole new meaning for me. You know, growing up, I grew up with a love of figs. And I think it's just an Italian thing. Any Italians here today? So I hate to break this bad news, but most Italians know that you can't say you're Italian unless you own a fig tree. It's just an unwritten rule. And the first fig tree I had didn't do so well. So about 3 years ago, we took a branch of an existing fig tree from my cousin who has a farm, and we potted the branch, and I had it at my parents' house, and every spring and summer they would take the plant out, the fig tree out, and every winter they would put it away, and they've done that for 3 years. This year, the fig tree was probably close to 6 feet tall, and I took that fig tree, and I planted it in the ground, and I watered it, and I put it in a great spot for sun, and I fertilized it, and everything was going great, and by the time the summer rolled around, I must have had 3 dozen little figs on this fig tree. It was super exciting. And as we rolled into September, my figs just stopped growing. They were like the size of a half a dollar, and they stopped. And I called my parents and asked if they knew what was wrong, and they didn't. And I called my cousin, who has this farm, and I said to him, did I put it out too early? Did maybe the frost get to it? And he said, no, just wait. Be patient. And sometimes the simplest answer is the best. And I waited. And as October rolled around, the middle of October, there was a fig miracle. My figs started to ripen. And over a period of like 3 weeks, I was eating figs every single day. See, they call it fruit of the Spirit because fruit takes time to grow. You have to water it and nurture it. Kindness doesn't happen overnight. Nobody wakes up tomorrow and says, I'm kind. You have to work at it, but it will grow. For some reason today, people seem to be very, very quick to judge. They're very quick to anger. We have to stop letting all the little things affect our emotions. Like this one. Anyone can relate to this? You're sitting at the traffic light, and the light turns green, and the guy in front of you doesn't move the second it turns green. What do you do when that happens? Do you lean into the horn? Are you a quick beep of the horn? Or are you patient? You give them 5 seconds, right? We all know what they're doing. They're on their phone. We know that. But maybe we can just give them 5 seconds. But I think for most people, it seems to be social media. What happens to people when they're on social media? People are just mean, saying a lot of unkind things. You know, I don't do a lot of social media, so if you're friends with me, I'm pretty boring. But I am on a Facebook food group. Now, this food group is great if you want to check out a new restaurant or try a new dish or something. People post their opinions. I was on there last week, and somebody posted something negative about their entree. Not even complaining about the rest of the meal. They just said their entree, they didn't like their entree. They were attacked just for posting their opinion. And I scratch my head sometimes and I say, wait a minute. Isn't that the purpose of the group? To post your opinion? Good or bad? But the real problem seems to be people just can't let go. They can't move on. They see one thing on Facebook when they first wake up in the morning that they don't agree with, and their whole day is ruined. And then at 5 o'clock at night, they're posting something else back, not so kind. It's like their own kind of FOMO. Pastor Burt spoke a few weeks back about FOMO. Millennials are said to have a FOMO, a fear of missing out. I think for a lot of people, their FOMO is a fear of moving on. They can't move on from a situation. Or for my oldest son who still lives at home, I think his FOMO is a fear of moving out. But that's a completely different sermon. But anyway, we have to learn to let go of the things that we don't agree with. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It's amazing that this verse, written almost 2,000 years ago, could have been written yesterday. It's more relevant today than ever. And what I love about this verse, the Apostle Paul is giving Christians a clear direction. He's not saying, just go love. He's giving a direction. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and instead turn to kindness. Be tender-hearted. This verse is at the core of what it means to be a Christian. Trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin, but we're called to mature in our faith. And you do that by turning away from anger and instead be kind. Now, I'm not saying that being kind means you're going to get along with everyone. You're not going to have thousands of best friends when you're kind. It's okay to disagree with people. There used to be a saying, we can agree to disagree. Like, I'm never going to get along with a Met fan. Just not going to happen. We're on polar opposite sides of the spectrum. And being kind doesn't mean you have to be silent either. If you feel that there are injustices out there, speak up. If you want to talk politics, do it. But do it kindly. Jesus wasn't always silent, but he was always kind. The words that you speak, they're powerful. People forget the words that you type on social media are powerful. Your words can build someone up or break them down. Someone once said to me, kindness is contagious. And it is, but so is anger. We need to be careful what our kids are seeing. We need to be careful what our kids are hearing. People post online all the time, give me an amen. Blessed. God doesn't care how much you know until he knows how much you care about other people. You know, I heard a story about 30 years ago when I first started out in business. And it's a story that was delivered by the late, great Earl Nightingale. And you can listen to it. It's a motivational story. But it's a story about a farmer. And the farmer has a very, very fertile land. He was blessed with fertile land. And the land gives the farmer a choice. The land tells the farmer, you can plant whatever you want in the land. And the farmer has two seeds. He has corn in one hand, and in the other hand, he has nightshade, a deadly poison. And he digs a hole and he plants corn, and he plants nightshade, and he covers it up, and he waters it, and he weeds it. And what do you think will happen? As I said, the land doesn't care what the farmer plants. See, the land will deliver poison just as abundantly as it will deliver corn. It doesn't care what you plant. The heart works the same way. What you plant, it will return. Kindness or anger. Now, I'm not looking to offend anyone this morning, but if I do, you can email me at bert@truenorthchurch.net. But if you're one of these people on social media, what is social media planting in your heart? Because if you're checking in on social media more than you're checking in with God, you might be planting the wrong thing. If you're on Facebook more than you're in His book, you might be planting the wrong thing. Jesus gives us one new commandment. This is John 13, verse 34 to 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus doesn't say it once. He says it multiple times. Love each other. Love one another. In other words, be kind to each other. Now, as we enter this Christmas season, what can you do to create kindness? And it could be something random. It could be a random act of kindness. Because when you persist in it, random acts of kindness become acts of kindness. They're not random anymore. And this morning, I wanted to leave you with something just to express how powerful kindness is. And if you don't think that God is speaking to you, sometimes maybe we're not listening, but I heard this 2 weeks back on the radio. Kindness is a language that the blind can see and the deaf can hear. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, as we enter this season, let us be slow to judge and quick to love. And Lord, as we continue to spread your kindness, Lord, I pray that they would know that we are one of your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.